Well, we'll continue on in Romans 15. And Paul's addressing the folks there in Rome, the Jews and the Gentiles and the churches there. But he speaks of broader principles concerning God's dealings with various peoples, concerning his dealings with the Jews and with the Gentiles. The animosity that sometimes exists between people, and at the same time, to realize that God's working his plan. God's using the various peoples in the way that he intends to. And thankfully, God has a people amongst all the various nations as well. So Paul's been speaking of those things, and let me just read quickly the verses down to there. And we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing to thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And as Paul is apt to do under the inspiration of the Scripture, he again refers to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 43 says, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, with physical Israel. Rejoice, ye nations, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. When God does, and we see the beginnings of it, but when God does restore Israel to its rightful place, he will avenge the enemies of his people. And the redeemed of the Gentiles will rejoice with his people. And I think Paul's using this future context to encourage unity amongst the believers there in Rome, to encourage unity amongst the Jewish believers and the Gentile brethren that were there in the churches in Rome. Now, even in this present dispensation, even in the time of the Gentiles, certainly the Gentiles have had ample reason to rejoice, having been the recipients of that promise that had been given to Abraham. In Genesis 22:18, God said, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so it is that the Gentiles have all reason in the world to rejoice with the people of Israel. In Abraham's seed, and the coming Messiah, they were all blessed. And they're all the people, become the people and the chosen of God. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:9, says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him which calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, Peter's not here speaking just of physical Israel. He's not speaking entirely of physical. He's speaking here of God's chosen people, of which physical Israel was a picture and a type. How do I know that? Because Peter makes it quite clear. He says, to the folks he's talking to, he says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. You know, the physical realm and God uses that to teach us concerning the spiritual realm. We ought not confuse either of them. We ought not to deny either of them. Peter says, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so, the Old Testament scripture says, and Paul quotes, rejoice ye Gentiles with His people. You weren't a people, but now you are. You didn't have not obtained mercy, but now you have. And again, the psalmist writes in Psalm 67 in verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. We talked about that word. It's important, I think, to kind of understand these concepts and to, you know, get out of our head this idea we have of a nation state and man-made borders and those sort of things. That thy way may be known upon the earth, and thy saving health among all nations. The Hebrew word lam, among all peoples. Sometimes spoken of as a commonwealth. For folks who have, you know, a common interest and a common culture. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. And it's interesting, in God's ways, and I don't claim to understand them all, but I do understand that we've kind of perverted things and totally tore it up. And you can go back to what happened at Babel and these other things, and man has continually tried to do that. The Lord is honored, you know, in all the nations. And He chose them and He set them in those ways. And we've so convoluted, you know, you can't unscramble eggs. Why would we want to add to those things? You know, it's not so much a melting pot where everybody becomes one. That's supposedly the ideal in America, but, you know, that was one thing, again, when it was people who were from common areas. It is now that it's just a mess. It came to mind again when we talk about nations and peoples, a verse over in Acts 17 that we're so familiar with. And I've seen this verse so twisted. It says, and hath made of one blood all nations. You see, we all go back to Adam. You understand that? We all go back to Noah. And yet even there, Noah amongst his sons began the divisions that God had set forth. And of course, man tried to eradicate them again. You come to Babel and so forth. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. So, yes, we're all sons of Adam. In that sense, we're all brothers after the flesh. In that sense. But God also determined, and from that one blood, He made all these nations, all these ethnoses, all these peoples. And He determined and appointed their bounds of their habitations. And we just forever, you know, try to consolidate. And whether, you know, it be in the United Nations or whether it be in Washington, D.C. You know, there's different peoples and God deals with them differently. And, you know, we kick against the pricks if we deny those things. And God's obviously glorified in these things because God speaks of his dealings with Israel and his dealings with the nations. He obviously appointed those things. Psalmist says in Psalm 98, verse 3, he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. There's the house of Israel, and then there's all the ends of the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So in spite of what God has in store for all the physical nations of the earth, God still is working his plan in the material and in the physical realm. The Jews and the Gentiles amongst the elect have great cause to rejoice together. To rejoice, and particularly in within the Lord's churches, as in harmony. To rejoice together in peace and unity. And Paul isn't saying there's no differences. He said, but you know, you ought to be able to relate to one another in those, and the strong to make allowance for the weak. And God brings us all together in the one. It doesn't change who we are physically. Some folks quote the verse when Paul says there's neither male nor Gentile, or male nor female, nor Jew nor Gentile. Yeah, they're all. I mean, their physical differences don't pass away when the Lord saves you and does and brings you. But that rejoicing, that commonality of what we received of the Lord, we rejoice together. Paul earlier said in Romans 8, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So they're joint heirs together, the Jew and the Gentile, that are amongst God's elect. And they ought to be able to rejoice and to glorify God together. And Paul continues restating much the same thing in verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, all ye the ethnos, and laud him, all ye people. Laos, or people groupings. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, the distinctions made between the nations and the people. The people often referring to Israel. And see in Psalm 2 and so forth, where God talks about how the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things. People speak. The heathen rage and Israel imagines vain things. I mean, so Paul continues here with scripture upon scripture, encouraging the saints, both the Jew and the Gentile, to glorify God and to raise praises to his name. Psalmist says in Psalm 117:1, oh, praise ye the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise the Lord. God's mercy has been made known to the elect amongst the Jew and amongst the Gentile, and so we all have ample reason to praise him. And then Paul continues in verse 12, and again Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now what a blessed truth that is. I don't have time to get into all day. We'll look at it a little bit close. But there's a root of Jesse. A root of, see, the magnificence of the incarnation. It's the root of Jesse. So if it's the root of Jesse, Jesse came from the root. And yet the Messiah, the Savior, is a root and a branch of Jesse. Which again speaks of the glorious incarnation, which was foreshadowed and foretold and prophesied in the Old Testament. So the Messiah would have a people amongst the Gentiles, and this was revealed throughout the Old Testament. And it shouldn't have come as any surprise to the Jews. And yet it did. Wow! You know, even amongst the elect Jews, the saved Jews, they were like, wow! How did God save the Gentile? He said He was going to do that. It says, and again, Isaiah saith in Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which will stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Isaiah says, there'll be a root of Jesse. Now, the rabbis, prior to the Lord coming, they understood this to be of the Messiah. Rabbi Zohar said this. He said that when the King Messiah is revealed, there shall be gathered to him all the nations of the world, so that that scripture shall be fulfilled. So as to the flesh, our Lord was not only the minister of to the circumcision, He was not only a Jew, but was a root of Jesse. Now Jesse was David's father. And again, we might think, well, the great King David, I mean, we refer, you know, he's son of David. Now, why does it speak of the root of Jesse? And I think, again, it's to emphasize God's sovereign will. That we understand, you know, where David came from. Because we think, oh, the great King David. Yeah, but, you know, he was the little son of Jesse. He was the one they all sent out into the field. He was the one they didn't give a second thought to. Isaiah 11, verse 1 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So I think the reference here is made to the root of Jesse to remind us of how David was chosen to be king and the humble backgrounds from which he sprung to that royal lineage. And it's a reminder, I think, again, as Paul's here speaking of how the folks in the church judge one another, that we need to be careful in our judgments. Because you know what? God doesn't judge like man judges. He doesn't judge like man would judge in his choosing for service. And he doesn't judge like man would judge in his choosing for salvation. And I just want to read that passage over in 1 Samuel where again we see where David was chosen to be king. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. That was astounding enough as it was. You know, Jesse wasn't that particularly prominent. But then he goes to find the son of Jesse. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and says, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Here's this big strapping fella, And the Lord said unto Samuel, Look now not on his countenance, for on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him to pass before Samuel. And he saith, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse came to made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? It was kind of like Jesse was like, I guess we're done. And he said, Well, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look at. And the Lord saith, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And so we need to be careful, As the Lord said to Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, for I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. If you would think, if the Lord's going to come, if he's going to be incarnate, surely he would come as some prominent person, some elevated stature. But the Lord doesn't do things that way. And so we should be careful in our judgments then of one another. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. So judge nothing before the time. The Lord knows these things. To be careful in our judgments of one another. And I think, again, that's the Lord's called the root of Jesse. The root of Jesse. He was the originator. The root's the originator. The root's the thing that the tree springs from. The root's the thing that all the branches come out of. It's the root that sustains the tree. It's the root that sustains the branches. It sustains all the branches. And Paul earlier had alluded to, and we'll pick up here next time, but about the different branches. There was the natural branches and the grafted in branches of the Gentiles, but the root sustains them all. Paul spoke of God's elect amongst the Jews and the Gentiles that are all sustained by a common root. The root of Jesse. And so there's that unity within the Lord's church. It's one tree, and it's from the same root. Again, Paul, as he speaks of these things which seem kind of common, how we deal with one another, But he goes back and bases them upon these great truths, these great mysteries. The incarnation, the coming of the Messiah. The one who's both the root and the branch. The one who's, we'll see, and we'll get into here, I'm getting too far ahead of myself, but you know all those things anyway, you know. The ones who the Pharisees, they couldn't comprehend it. You know, the Lord said, Abraham saw my day. They said, this guy's not even 40 years old or whatever. How could Abraham have seen his day? He's the son of Abraham. They couldn't grasp those things. And yet the Lord revealed them in his son, Jesus Christ, and reveals it to his elect people. And for that cause, we all have reason to rejoice and to rejoice together. Now let's take our hymnals in and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 180, When He Cometh. On 180. Father, thank you for this day and the privilege to gather as your people. Lord, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you don't think as man thinks, that you don't choose as man chooses. For surely you would not have chosen one such as myself. Father, we thank you for your sovereign grace. Lord, we thank thee for that one that's the root and the branch of Jesse. One to whom you said the Gentiles would turn. And Lord, we know we turn only being turned. Father, I pray that you help us to walk in your ways and be the people you would have us to be. To bring glory upon thee. Father, we feel the lack of our brother Pruffle today, and we just pray your hand on him as he travels home. We thank thee, Lord, that he was able to be there and to meet the needs of Ian. And we just pray that you continue to be with him as he seeks to minister to that difficult situation. Father, we don't understand everything that you've brought about, but we know that it's for the good of your people. And Lord, we can rest in that. Lord, thank you for your love that spanned in eternity. Thank you for this, your church. Thank you, Lord, for one another. For the fellowship of the saints, for your preserved word. And Lord, we thank thee most for our Savior. Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.